So, hey guys, it's Manhattanite and Verse from Single Mentors, and we decided to do some audio podcasts just to add a little bit more content to our blog, make it a little bit more interactive. And we figure each week we'll have certain different topics and just sort of have a conversation about that. So this week we decided we're going to start off doing some game selection theory, I guess, and obviously very important topic. And something that people really lack, I think. So,
Definitely.
yeah.
Definitely lack.
So, obviously, since we've been staking for like about 5 years, obviously realized that game selection is a really big part of the game. And I guess in terms of a lot of like MTTs that we put people in, it always seems like people want to play a lot higher than they should. And you
They
agree?
play higher than their bank. Yeah, they play generally higher than their bankroll, or their, not their bankroll because we have the bankroll, but their game, their quality of their game is. And playing higher than you should, you just end up going into makeup a lot of the time, and then fighting to get out of it, playing games like 3 rebuy 180s that you should be playing and grinding and just making money, instead of going into this makeup, going playing way over your head because you think you can, because you can satellite into, say, a 55 or the big 109 on a weekend or even during the week. It still comes out of makeup. I mean, it still goes into your off your personal running roll, running bankroll.
Right, yeah, that's one thing we see a lot is a lot of guys will think, oh, this is like a really juicy satellite. I can get into the big 109, or in an extreme situation like the Sunday 5:30 or Super Tuesday for a pretty small investment. But a lot of time, if this is a guy who's got a $10 average buy-in, who is not used to, playing for a lot of money, or is not used to playing with a really tough competition, why are you putting in money to try and satellite into an extremely tough tournament where, you're going to be a dog? And I'm sure like nobody wants to feel like they're getting run over in a game, right? They don't want to
Right.
feel like they're being sort of abused at all or being like severely outclassed by another player, especially when there's money on the line too.
Right. This doesn't mean that you shouldn't play satellites because they're super soft.
Oh,
It just means you
completely,
take
yeah.
the T dollar for the T dollar that you get from Stars or Full Tilt or whoever, and use it for your regular buy-ins.
Yeah,
Don't.
exactly. So if you want to sat into like a big 109, and I think of all the other smaller tournaments you could play that run daily, they're really good volume. So instead of taking that 109 seat, which granted the big 109 is generally a pretty good tournament, especially on weekends, it's pretty big prize pool and does have a good amount of bad players. A lot of really good players too, obviously.
True, but your ABI needs to be still $25 probably for it to for you to justify playing it. And
Oh
just
yeah.
because there are a lot of bad players in the tournament, by the time you get to the final 50, there are not that many bad players left.
Yeah, a lot of time the cream really rises to the top, and maybe you're used to playing a 3 rebuy 180 with $600 up top. Well, now you're playing the big 109. Say you manage to get to the final table. Well, there's 20 grand up top or something, and each pay jump's maybe a few $1,000s. Do you really think that you're going to be able to play well and not let the money really affect your decision-making process, right? How
Yeah,
are you
absolutely.
expected to play well at that point, right?
You're not going to. I mean,
Exactly.
most of the players that we stake, I would say the vast majority of the players that we stake would not play well with that kind of money on the line, especially on Sunday when Misto, what was it, like 51,000 or something
Yeah,
for
it was 68,000
second?
for first place, right?
It was like heads up for 16,000 or $18,000.
Yeah,
I
very,
mean,
very huge amount. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, what I was trying to get to before is like, instead of taking that 109 shot into that tournament, let's just think of some other tournaments you could play. Well, and add them up. So throw in the Big 8, Big 11,
Big 22.
Big 22, some 1650 turbos, some 11 turbos,
And you still aren't at the
yeah, and
109.
you're still at like what, $70 or something? Maybe throw in like 27 turbo knockout, which is not probably not a great tournament, but It's
Yeah, but the
okay.
Sunday 20K one is pretty decent. I mean,
Yeah, there's just so much other stuff, and like, yeah, you might say, "Oh, I'm gonna play those anyways," but I mean, if you can basically get into six or seven tournaments for the cost of, $20 or something,
there you go.
why not go for that, obviously? And it's of course gonna be like much lower variance. You have more than just one shot at like hitting a score or something. Obviously, if you hit the 1650 turbo, it's nowhere near the same as hitting the big 109, but you get six shots basically at having some sort of tournament score against
It's a lot easier.
a much easier field too.
Right. Plus, we're one of the things we're teaching you in 180s, most of our players at least, is to beat a turbo format, that the 1650 is fitting right into that format, where the big 109 is a completely different format.
Yeah, that's a good point too. You're playing with much, much deeper stacks, much better players. There's a lot of times there's very little post slot play in a 180, a little bit more so now, I guess, with the different blind structure changes,
Three
and the
rebuys.
free rebuy for sure. But in the big 109, I mean, are you dealing with maybe your 50 big blinds deep like later on, and you're
Yeah.
just gonna be very, very inexperienced to that, and a lot of time inexperience is gonna obviously cause a lot of
Well,
mistakes.
the better players are going to just run over you
Yeah.
because they have so much more experience at that 50 big blind level, knowing, I mean, they can just take so much advantage of you post flop. That,
Absolutely.
you know, you're just not used to it. And I see it every day when I do players' hand history reviews. And, you know, I know a number of our players, you know, there some are very, very skilled post flop, but a number of them are, you know, relatively lost, and yet they're asking to satellite into, you know, even $33 tournaments, you know, they're asking to satellite into. And, you know, they're lost. One player asked me to play the 33 cube the other day, which is, you know,
That's
first of
got
all,
to be a really tiny field too.
it's a tiny field. It's a tough tournament. And, you know, it's completely not in the realm of the player's skill level and how they play.
Yeah, I totally agree for sure. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people obviously they want to move up and have a chance at a pretty big score, but really when you're learning, you really want to make sure you don't have like a big ego. Try to soak up as much information as possible, basically, and sort of prove yourself before you start wanting to play among the best players or want to play, the big 55 when your average buy-in right now is $4 or something like that.
Right.
Like, you have to put in your time. It kind of sucks. It's sort of like a job in that sense where it's not like you could expect to get hired for a job as an entry-level position and then the next day knock on the president's door and say, "Hey, I want a promotion. I worked for one day,"
Right. I want to be the CFO. You know,
right?
the one exception to the rule probably is the Sunday Million,
Yeah, I
where,
would agree with that. Yeah, I agree.
you know, where players probably should be satellite into that more than they do, and that's the one of all the tournaments that they should probably take a shot.
Yeah, that's
And,
true.
you know, in part, it actually plays just because you have a 10,000 chip starting stack,
It's a
it
fast
actually sort of,
tournament, yeah.
it's soft and it plays a little bit like a turbo at times.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, especially, you know, when you're deep, some of the best players in the field don't even have more than 20 big blinds.
Yeah, fair enough.
Very different than the big 109.
Yeah, I would completely agree. Yeah, there's one example, like they have a 44 euro turbo every day, and I used to play that every day, probably 3 years ago, and it
You
was
hate
always
that tournament.
an extremely small field, and all the best like 180 man players played it, and all the good MTT players played it, and because it's in another currency, do you really think somebody who's, in Canada or maybe in the UK or in Asia, or back when it was in the States, or from the U.S., do you think people are really taking their the fish are really taking their USD, seeing a tournament in another currency, converting that money to euros, and then registering for the tournament? It's like seems
Exactly.
very, very unlikely, right?
Exactly. And for some reason, players, you know, come to me all the time and say, "Oh, I want to play this. It's soft." And then, you know, I think I looked up one of our very good players, Shy Shyster, and you know, I showed him that he was down like 5K in this Euro tournament
Yeah.
that, you know, he thought he was plus EV in.
Yeah,
And
that's just a very small example because that's one tournament on the daily structure. Like other things, I think are that people love to play, but I think you're terrible are like the 2x chances or
the 54, the $55 one, and the 109 one, and
yeah. I mean, those are
I guess.
just it might be kind of a stupid theory, but I feel like anytime there's some sort of like variation in the tournament, whether you add in a turbo or hyper turbo. Or sometimes you'll disagree with me, but like a 500 cap or time, maybe not the time's probably a bad example, or a 2x chance or a 2x double rebuy or some sort of variation. I feel like that attracts less fish just because, I don't know, fish want like easy games to play in, I think, usually, where they like understand the rules. So.
Right. And even if it does, you know, even those tournaments that do have the fish in them, like the Big Ante one,
Oh, yeah, the Big Ante one is true.
the fish just get eaten up so quickly
Yeah.
that, again, you know, the cream is going to rise to the top, and the last, you know, 10% of the field is always going to be, you know, a fairly decent quality player.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, I guess with like the Big Ante, those tournaments really get very, very small fields, like 100-person fields. And I know a lot of time you'll think that they're gonna be soft. I think it's possible. I think somewhat having like the Big Antes kind of like levels out the playing field a little bit because I'm not so sure. Like, I guess a good player would be able to figure out where the edge is coming from there. But
Yeah, I think a good player can figure that out pretty
yeah,
easily.
I guess you're probably right about
You
that.
know,
Still,
then on the
they
other hand,
attract like pretty small fields, and I don't know. I
right.
would usually just pass on those.
Right. Now we could talk about some of the tournaments that players should be playing.
Yeah, I could do that for sure.
You know, the you know, talking about game selection, the there's some great games out there. All the turbos below $10. Two rebuys, all of those, the $1 rebuys, those are really good value tournaments,
Yeah, definitely.
especially because we're all, you know, we're sort of teaching you to play turbos, and I can't even think of a better value tournament than any of those. The morning eight rebuy is a great value tournament. We see players final tabling that fairly regularly.
Is that's the 2x rebuy or no?
No, it's just the straight
Oh, okay.
$8, $17,000, $17,500 guaranteed tournament. And
Okay, yeah, one must be too early for me. I've never seen that before.
yeah, it starts at 10 a.m. our time, my time, so
Oh,
probably,
Eastern, yeah. Yeah, so 7 my time. Yeah, fair enough.
yeah, that's like a pretty soft tournament.
Right.
Probably even, you know, for some players, that $11 morning one that starts a couple of hours earlier for the European players. Really soft, you know, really soft fields.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really good value stuff on Stars.
Yeah, all the big tournaments are always good. Pretty much all the hots, like
Any hot?
probably $22 or under would be good. Some of
Yep.
the hot of 44 is not amazing. Certainly not a bad tournament. And then,
We probably haven't done great in the hot 44. I mean, we have players playing it every single day,
yeah,
and one player won it recently. But I
that's
would say
true.
overall, we're probably, you know, well, I guess the site probably has 100%
Who knows?
ROI in it with the one win.
Yeah, I guess that would really skew it, I suppose.
Yeah, but maybe not. I mean, we may put 1,000 players, you know, we may have 1,000 buy-ins before he wins it.
Yeah, that's possible. Other good stuff is like that one rebuy 3x
I should say
turbo or
1,000.
2x turbo or the two rebuy 2x turbo. Like, we've had players win pretty much every single low buy-in tournament on Stars.
Consistently, the
With like
$5
a
hyper.
guarantee or something. Oh, like the $5, any of the $5 hyper versions. Yeah.
I mean, God, those are like cash in the bank for our
Some
players.
basically somebody wins one of those every week.
At least once a week,
Yeah.
yes. The 540 KO.
Yeah, that's a great one too.
And
And the thing to keep in mind is like, yeah, okay, the buy-in's pretty small. A lot of time you're just out $5 and you bust within in like an hour. But and it's a big field, but when you win it, like that $5 hyper is $1,400 or something off a $5 buy-in
your ROI is so good.
against a weak field. And yeah, I think the important thing is not to think that you're above any sort of buy-in. Like I can understand if you had a 50 ABI and you don't want to play like the 540 like turbo knockout or something like that. But
Right, because there's enough other things in your
yeah,
buy-in.
that in your buy-in range that you're gonna
But
get a higher hourly playing basically.
right, but those same players would really be reducing variance greatly by actually playing those tournaments where their edge on the field is just like night
Yeah,
and day.
quite massive. That's true. I guess the last thing I wanted to say was
Maybe we can get Chemo to play some of those.
I've seen him play him sometimes actually.
No, I know he does. He does.
I mean it's really I'll load up the five hyper. It's one of my favorite tournaments to play.
Oh, absolutely. That's when you
Usually
start
it's
chafing.
done with usually it's done within like 20 minutes, and sometimes you're just like, oh, I have a good stack in this, like,
Well,
okay.
you know, the amazing thing about all those turbos is you can play them alongside your 180s, and you don't even realize that you're playing them. And then
Yeah, agree. Because it's pretty similar. Yeah.
all of a sudden it sneaks up on you and you're like, "Oh my God, I have a real stack in this
Yeah.
tournament." Like,
What
what is
I like
this?
about that is, if you're playing pretty much like every day, like there's sort of a, to some extent, a limited amount of money you could be making in a 180 in a day. A lot of the time, maybe
True.
it's not that exciting. Like, yeah, pretty good if you're playing like an 8-1-80 and win first place for 396 or whatever, or win a 15-180 or something. But I always liked throwing in MTTs on the side just to give a little bit more like excitement, right? Because now instead of your highest score of the day being $767 or whatever a 15-180 pays, you could rip the Hot 11 for 5K or something like that, right?
Easily, easily. You
So,
know, one of my, I would say my biggest mistake playing was, you know, I'd be grinding 18 mans all day long. I'm sitting in front of the computer all day long, and I was not loading nearly enough multi-turbos of that, you know, under.
I had the same problem too. I didn't start playing MTTs till way too late. Maybe not too late, but I wasn't mixing them in, and I easily could have.
Easily. And my ROI in them was, I think, over 150, you know, and for a decent sample size, like over 1,000 games.
Yeah, like
So, you know.
I started playing a lot probably midway through 2008. I probably didn't win my first MTT till April 2009 or something, because I barely played them, and I probably played my first Sunday, late into 2009. So
Absolutely. I never played Sundays.
that was a whole year and a half of basically me not playing MTTs,
Absolutely.
which just
Absolutely.
seems like a huge squandering of time and
Time.
potential, I guess.
Right. Except that back then we were learning.
That's
Of
true.
course, it was pretty soft.
Yeah, I mean, I
We didn't really know how soft.
just looking at, yeah, you didn't really realize how easy it was. I mean, you knew you could make a good amount of money, but I mean, we were bad, like really bad.
Yeah, we had no idea how soft it was. And if I were to go back and pull some of my hand histories off of PFX,
I've done it too.
I'd be shocked. I mean, the 3x openings I was making,
If not more,
if not more. I mean, open shoving, you know, in any position. But, you know, players were folding. You know, it was.
it did work pretty well for that time for sure. So I mean, it's all kind of relative.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to touch on was, it's not really a big point for like a lot of our players, and more so just for a general audience, like, going back to game selection, a lot of the time, like, I'll look at lobbies for like an 18 man sit and go or something, and this would probably like apply to a 9 man, I'm sure too. Not that we have anybody playing them, but still a relevant point. When those games load so quickly and more or less load at any time, if you see a lobby that has 12 or 13 okay players out of 18,
Skip it.
why are you loading it? Like, why are
Yeah.
you deciding to play right this minute? I can understand if you've already been grinding for a while and you don't want to wind down your session or something like that, but when games load so often for, a small field sit and go, if you don't like the lineup and it's half
Just
rent at
wait
least or
5 minutes.
something, watch some TV. Yeah, wait 10 minutes, wait half hour, make yourself a sandwich. I don't know, go outside and play some
Yeah.
sports. Like,
Yeah,
if
when I was playing a ton of the 18 mans, a $15 one loaded in about under 50 about 50 seconds.
Yeah, they're still pretty quick too. What I don't understand is, like, say in this example, you're looking at a $30 18, and there's already 15 people registered, and 12 of them are okay to good players. Even like a marginal regular, like, you're really not making money off of, maybe a little bit, but you'd much rather have a fish. What's going through the mind of that 16th regular who's thinking, oh, there's only 14 people I know, let's register this one, right?
Yeah, I
It
mean,
always surprises me. Like, I guess they have that Sengoku Sensei running or something like that, but they're just like,
they don't
oh,
have a choice, yeah.
this looks good, let's just reg this. Like, oh yeah, I need to keep grinding. Or they think, like, I still have a good edge against 12 okay players. Oh, and plus I get my rake back anyway, so
It's the rake
I'm
back, yeah.
guaranteed to make my 50 cents off this game or something, right?
Yeah, I'm staked and I get the rake back, and I need those FPPs to get to the supernova or
Yeah,
state.
I mean, it's definitely would influence you, I guess, more if you're
Right.
staked. But I don't know, I always just see it funny where I'm like, I know this player trying to reg right now is not that good. What the hell is he thinking right now, right?
Yeah, I
Always
know.
quite funny to see that. And that goes on for su it's been going on for such a long time too. It's like,
Absolutely.
you can just wait. I mean, it sucks with a 180 man, you can't like wait until the lobbies look good, but
Well, but you can sometimes. I mean, you can search any tournament on Sharkscope, put in the tournament ID, and a screen will pop up showing you how many fish are in it, how many sharks are in it, how many, people with platinum stars already are in it.
Yeah.
And you can get a general idea of the field in them.
That's
And
true.
there are some that do go off softer than others.
Yeah, that's true. But a lot of time it's going to be during like a non-peak hour where it takes ages for the game to load and you won't be able to
Yeah,
mention in a
but
whole lot of stuff.
sometimes, I mean, it is true, and I wouldn't game select a 180. I'm not
No, yeah, of
suggesting
course
that I
not.
would, because I mean, I would hour select. I would try to figure out,
Yeah, it's the problem is the hours they go off the most are, typically
or
the
when
hard the
pop fish. Yeah, of
hardest hours.
course.
One thing I've seen is, like, on a Sunday I'm thinking of not even bothering to play like a 35-180, certainly not a 60, because they're just stacked.
All
I'm not
stacked,
gonna
and
bother playing.
unfortunately, that's when they run.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'd rather just take my 12, 15 MTTs or something and just play those and just focus on those basically. Like, that's
Absolutely.
way better instead of loading something in, like a table pop up, and I'm like, okay, there's like four MTT regs up over 100K and two decent 1A players and maybe one fish at the table.
Right.
It does happen a lot. I mean, unfortunately, that's maybe the direction the 1As are going in, but
Yes, but then, learning how.
who knows what Stars is planning. Or
Right.
Maybe they throw in some new game format that's, just attracts a ton of fish or something. So,
Well, they tried recently, didn't they put in a $11 180 with that's capped
oh,
or
with the isn't there like progressive knockout or some sort of knockout
progressive
thing?
knockout, something like that.
Yeah, some. I think they could definitely in the future have some sort of addition that kind of reinvigorates those games a little bit. That would definitely be nice to see.
Right. I mean, just well, start a thread on 2+2.
Yeah, it is possible. I know they do read there. All right, so I think that's pretty much all we're gonna talk about, right?
Yep. Yeah, that was a
Awesome.
10-minute podcast.
Yeah, at least, I mean, 23, 24 minutes, so
Right.
it always seems to turn out that way. Plan to do something for 5 minutes and then half hour later
Exactly.
we haven't finished talking what we plan to talk about, so.
Exactly.
All right,
Exactly.
so hope you guys enjoyed that, and we're gonna be trying to make these maybe once a week or something. And if you have a topic you want us to talk about and enjoyed this, feel free
Yep.
to send it to us and maybe we can go over it. Could be fun.
Right. When we get together, we can test like different brands of vodkas
Yeah, that too. That would also work. All right, so yeah, this has been First in Manhattan Night for, I guess, Single Mentors podcast number one.
Yep.
Good luck at the tables, I guess.